Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. People ask me periodically to respond to like the very well-known kind of archetype in spirituality. This is a very common question. It'll come in the form of, well, can you talk about guru-type spirituality? Scott, can you talk about the scandals on Netflix and what is that trauma? Yes, there's the answer. Of course. Because, well, let me just focus on the bad boys of spirituality. The bad boys. They're like bad boys anywhere. They can't be vulnerable. You won't feel that from them. You might feel their charisma. You might feel their power. You might feel their commanding presence. You might feel that they have something that you don't. But you won't feel their warmth, their true vulnerability or sadness. You won't feel that in them. Whether you want to say it's not a heart opening or it's just that it goes deeper than that, that it's actually repression of vulnerable emotions, hurt and sadness. That actually explains a lot, but not all of the bad boys in life and in spirituality. They're just hurt and afraid. It doesn't give them a right to do whatever they're doing, but it certainly gives us an understanding because a lot of us are attracted to the bad boys of life. And I don't just mean women or gay men. I just mean people become attracted to other people who seem to have something that seems missing in their experience. And so the reason that I'm focusing on the bad boys is so that we'll stop focusing on the bad boys. We got to talk about why we're so focused on that first. Let's talk about who the audience is. Well, there's going to be a bunch of different people in an audience with a teacher who's doing something, you know, behind the scenes or hurting people, sexual abuse, whatever or overt activity is there, and it is overt compared to anger repressors. It's much more overt because usually there's evidence, not always, but usually there's evidence coming up, like witnesses, testimony, or, you know, like rape kit, something, branding leaves a mark, something overt eventually will come out. But now when I'm going to switch over to the good boys, you won't even find the evidence, and yet the damage is there too. But on the bad boys, there's just some overt stuff that gets our attention enough to make documentaries around and be fascinated by those documentaries because we can see the shadows. And whenever we can see the shadows, it helps us understand something more. Like, oh, he's obviously very unconscious, and then he was a leader, and he did this and that, and that makes sense because the documentary explains his unconsciousness and all that. We're satisfied. But it doesn't really answer the question of what happened. Who's in the audience? And is that relevant? Well, it's the teachers who have the most responsibility there because we assume the role of helping people. So most of the responsibility shifts to people who are leading people and who are unconscious. But if we take that view completely, I don't know that any of us will really heal, if you think about it. Because, well, healing happens from within. You have to resolve your own trauma. If we don't look at ourselves, we keep making the same steps, doing the same things, suffering, going to another teacher who's not right for us or helper. And if we don't take responsibility for how we're doing that or learn how we're doing that, well, we just have to keep suffering. There's just that price. And that's why I want to talk about the good boys too. Because there's some good boys who are doing some bad things, but they don't take ownership of it really any more, probably a lot less in some cases than the bad boys who get caught. Because good boys don't get caught. They just keep creating damage. And good girls too. Because I wanted to go with the cultural thing around men who, you know, show up a certain way. But really it's not about gender. It's just we've had a lot of male teachers. You know how that is. And so the good boys are, well, they have an agenda too. And it's not so overt. And that is to get their needs met and to stay away from anger, stay safe, and get love and approval while you're at it. But the damage is so covert that the good boys get away with it. Because you have to, like I said in the real scandal in spirituality, you have to hang out with the good boys for a while to see the damage. You have to get that disease, that chronic pain, or miss that the root of that suffering until you see that you sat there with someone for a long time who misguided you into never getting to the root of your suffering. Because he didn't get to his. And everybody was staying safe. And everybody, or a lot of people, over time will get sick and suffering will continue. But who's going to pin that back on the good guy? Nah, because he's good. He might be very compassionate, peaceful archetype, very open, loving, empathetic, really good teacher that many, many people love. He doesn't look like he's creating any damage. Of course, because it's an unconscious thing. But the damage is there. We just don't study it well because we like the overt stuff where we got evidence and witnesses. And, you know, well, that's important to have that. But where's the evidence? We don't even know where to look when everybody's just in harmony with each other and avoiding buried anger in a community or in a teacher setting. Where do you look? Because there's no responsibility there. None. Nobody takes responsibility for that in a setting like that. If somebody gets sick, it's just like, oh, well, shit. Yeah, it must be genetic or something. It's not related to the path. Better take care of that. Maybe go to the doctor. No. I could have dealt with some of that here if we would have gotten to the root of suffering, but we sat around in peace with each other for 2 decades and meditated into silent awareness that covered anger and hurt repression. I think that's why I'm sick. But how's that going to go over? You see, because if you have anger repression, you never get to it. You can't even speak up. Good boys create other good boys and girls who have anger repression and don't get to it and who become teachers. And that scandal then goes way back, if you look. The scandal of the good boys. Because the good boys like me created spiritual practices and teachings quite often. We were just too good. We showed up too good and we hid the anger from you and we had the agenda to help you avoid it. And then the damage came for us and you. We didn't create your disease. We just made sure that you didn't get to the root of it. Because we didn't get to the root of ours. And many of us good boys get sick. We announce publicly, hey, I've got this disease. But we don't go, that has something to do with the fact that I never talk about anger in my teaching. Or nobody ever sees me angry or upset or anything. But that has nothing to do with it. And then the good boy problem continues. The good boy gets love and approval by saying, oh, I have a disease, and gets sympathy, but doesn't own if it's there, why it's there, and then continues teaching. That's what I did. Until I had to own that, no, it's buried rage. That's why I have spinal stenosis. And I miss that. I don't want to meddle for it. I just don't want to miss it anymore. So we call things maybe good or bad, but to me it's all bad. It's all unconsciousness to do this. It's all bad for us, our health. Really made me take a look at, do I even want to teach? Because there's damage in every direction. And most people are not, until people get really sick or they just get into like a really avoidant place or a dark night of the soul, they don't always look back at what's going on and how they got there. But when you have masses of people, including teachers, good boys, even, or bad boys, who have millions of followers, and buried emotions are not being discussed, you've got millions of people with trauma being led away from resolving that trauma or not being led towards it. And but that's the root of their suffering. That's bad to me. See that? I don't know. That's just my, if you want to, I don't really feel that way. Like I don't feel any energy over it, but I don't like the good, bad distinction the way it's out there. I don't think that good boys are just doing good things. I don't think that. I also don't think that bad boys are always doing bad things. I think what there's just a lot of unconsciousness and we're trying to stay safe from childhood buried emotions. And we just do it in different ways. And we inadvertently or advertently encourage other people to avoid it in different ways. And we do it through our spiritual frameworks and processes because we're driven by it. So why wouldn't we create communities that don't get to the root of suffering or techniques that don't touch it? Because we're driven by the need for safety. But that's the scandal, whether good or bad or which side of the coin. That's it. It's unconsciousness. The good boys are no better than the bad boys. It's not even a good and bad thing. It's that we're just a species that feels very unsafe with our emotions, the full range of them. And we'll do anything, including create worldviews and big universal frameworks that try to explain reality, as long as we don't have to feel that. And when you get grounded into that whole mechanism, that everything is being created by something that's unprocessed, and you start focusing on that, well, that just changes everything because you see that unconsciousness in you. And it doesn't even become about the good boys or the bad boys or what other people are doing. It just became about my anger repression, what I was doing. And how can I reduce the harm of coming from anger repression and misguiding other people? How can I just reduce that? First, so the first thing I did is stop pointing to presence. I just had to stop teaching that way because every time I was doing it, and within that framework, there's no inclusion of the root of suffering because buried emotions don't arise to presence. There's nothing to look at or know there about how we create suffering. There's no insight into it by continuing to just be here and point people because everybody's unconscious has buried emotions. And those are not going to arise, no matter how much we appoint to presence. So that I left that behind to reduce damage. I know that people didn't always agree with me about that. And through the years, people would say, how come you never, almost never do it? And I say, because reducing harm and pointing people as safe as possibly to the root of their suffering goes beyond bringing harm. It helps them in their suffering. That's why I do it, and that's why I stick to it every day. And I don't make distinctions ultimately between, you know, it's all repression, it's all buried emotions and trauma. Ultimately, when I talk about the bad boys or the good boys, it's still just about you and me, because this will just keep going on. The trauma bond of, you know, whatever teaching cult, the trauma bonds, because we have trauma, will just keep going on in different versions. You'll see the next iteration will be some teachers has the universal framework for universal consciousness, 2030. And people are flocking to that person. They have an explanation for the nature of all reality. And it's clear, seems concise, has nothing to do with trauma. And then it's just another language trap that keeps us safe. Because that's what we want, is we want to be trapped into a limited way that keeps us safe, even a belief system that tries to explain the mystery. When if we would go into our bodies, we would see it's not even a mystery. We're just here trying to stay safe and get love, each of us. And that will continue until we stop making it about things that we create to stay safe from buried emotions. Spiritual frameworks and teachings that are distracting, they keep us safe and keep us in that survival mode. Because we can't feel and express what's true, we can't find safety within ourselves through belief systems, because that's the repression. Creating that. And then we entrap ourselves in that. So how do you free yourself from doing that? I think you have to stop thinking that there's somebody out there that's going to free you or anything like that. I think it's just something from our childhood where we don't trust ourselves and we just automatically look outside ourselves. Because when we're looking outside ourselves, we're driven by those unmet needs from childhood automatically because we're not focused on the buried emotions. When we look outside ourselves, plus we can't trust ourselves. So we're drawn to people, but we have to understand why we're drawn to them, especially if they won't help us see it. We have to somehow empower ourselves to look at our own issues because they may be unconscious, the good boy or the bad boy that's drawing us to them in a trauma bond. And because this implicates our health and our life and everything, I tell people, you don't have to do KI, but at least learn how to check and see if you have repression. That's a free test that we have, repressiontest.com. Because once you know that you have anger repression, you're at least armed, or hurt repression, you're armed with some knowledge that when you go to the next practice or something, if it doesn't get to buried emotions, notice how you'll be drawn to it. So you can learn that the repression drives things. But if you don't ever take that test or something like it, it's like the unconscious just keeps driving you. And you don't know what that is that drives you because you haven't made conscious the fear that drives you. So just to know that it's there, there's a fear of some emotion that you've buried. And then to see, if you can see it, that you're drawn to certain good boys or girls or bad boys or girls because of that. In other words, you might find that you have anger repression, and then there's a good boy over there. It's just really, he's disarming. He's pleasant, very peaceful. You like the energy. So you go over there. You don't realize that's your anger repression drawing you like a moth to a flame for safety. And you both just sit there. And you don't get to the driver there for you because the whole thing is made so that you don't. His persona, the atmosphere, the teaching, the language, the pointing. But how would you know, unless you had some insight into what drives you, that you were being pulled into that for maybe even decades? Or that maybe you look at a bad boy and you're drawn to him because he, or girl, because they express something that you can't. And you're over here being more peaceful and like the anger repressor. So you're drawn to your shadow. But how would you know if you have no understanding of what's buried for you? That like your anger repression creates that sense that you have to be small or have to be good or peaceful. And there's your trauma. And then you look at someone else who's not small. They don't care about being peaceful. They are whatever they are. And you're drawn to that. But you don't know why. Well, when you take the test here, you start to learn why. And so it's easier to not step into those situations blindly and to avoid the same buried emotion. But frankly, I invite you to just start doing KI because you really do need to be conscious in the body more to how the fear of these emotions really does drive you. When you become skillful and you're conscious in the body, it's like being aware of an operating system that was below the surface that was taking you everywhere, including unconsciously into relationships and suffering or into different. And then you'll see your own patterns. Most of it, you'll just take responsibility and see that, you know, in the end that you were creating suffering. We all do. From the very beginning, because that's how you were conditioned to be on this earth, is by holding certain emotions back and identifying with stuff that's false. And I don't know, I couldn't see the root of that until I got to Buried Emotions. So there's a, in terms of our, how we create our own suffering, I definitely had to do this work. I couldn't see it. I couldn't see my own persona of as like the good boy and how that was tied to buried anger and how I was pulling people in unconsciously and we were all safe. And many of us getting sick too. And then how I would focus on the bad boys from my anger repression. Say, damn, you're bad. And consequently, I'm good. And it was just all my own trauma. I needed to focus on that to dissolve these shadows and this separation that comes from not getting to the root of things. There's just no, I don't find much benefit, frankly, anymore. And it's not people pleasing. It's just, I don't find any benefit in talking about how somebody else is out there and what they're doing, unless it's to learn that I don't want to do that. You know, it's to take it back to myself. And I've had to do that because I looked at all these teachers who were just like me doing what I was doing, like the good boys. I'm like, I just don't want to do that because I can see what you're doing. But I also don't want to just go be a bad boy. It's like, there's just so limited. Like, can't we just be ourselves? And myself includes good and bad. I mean, I had buried anger. That was the bad part of me and the shame that went with that. That had to be included and made conscious. Or else I was going to continue to be that good boy who harms people covertly through getting needs met. But it doesn't flip to now I just want to go harm people overtly. We all just have to do our own work. We can't even look at other people. Their path is so different. If you look at somebody who's a good boy, like a big, charismatic, powerful energy, and you're an anger repressor, you have a completely different path. Because you have buried anger, and that person might have buried vulnerability. If they haven't gotten to their buried vulnerability, how can they show you how to get to their your buried anger? Especially since there's a shadow there of opposites. I don't know if you can see that. But it's the same way with an anger-repressing helper, and you have anger repression, they can't help you. People with repression can't help other people in suffering because the agenda is to stay safe and get love. We can help each other, but we need to end our suffering. We don't need to sit here and keep following people and getting involved in groups because we didn't get our needs met and we don't know we're doing that for that reason. If we have a way, do it. That's what I say. If you have a way other than KI, by all means. What we've done is we've just created a process where you can get straight to the root for yourself each day. And then your shadows go away the right way, where you see that you were producing them. You know, the fixation with the good boys or the bad girls or whatever. And the suffering that I see in spirituality that gets created because people don't realize they have trauma and they teach. It's just how it is, unfortunately. Take care of yourselves. That's what I say. Well, I always put my link to my intensive in the program. That really wasn't my motivation today. It was a heartfelt message because people keep asking me this question. Like, can you please talk about this more? I say, I talk about it all the time, actually. I'm surprised you don't think there's too much of it out there. Like, go listen to The Real Scandal in Spirituality or Covert Agendas in Spirituality. Then you'll see that I've already talked about it. Thank you for listening. Oh, the link is also not just to the intensive one-on-one with me, but there's a jump starter group where I teach people this work in a group. And don't worry, it's not a cult. That's the other thing, is that what this work does, if you go all the way, is it's an allegiance to your authentic self because you're getting to buried emotions. So when you have buried emotions, you're more inclined not to trust yourself and like attached to someone else because of that, an authority, because you can't be the authority for your own experience. We don't want your allegiance to us. We're former avoidance with buried anger. We're good to even be in a community and be comfortable with it, me and Dan, frankly. It's our work to show that we can have a community, but we're not going in that direction towards cult. We enjoy our freedom. We also enjoy the community aspect, but we've discovered, if I can speak for him, that spirituality should be about discovering the authentic self that we never could discover when we were kids. It's pretty innocent, really, but you do have to get to trauma. Thank you for listening.